Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10/1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Food for Thought. Thoughts if it were you. This is your host, Neo Gentrix. I know it's been a while since I've come back and not talked to you guys, but a lot of stuff has happened over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, okay? I'm sorry that I haven't released an episode in a while, but I'm planning to release about 4 of them in the next couple of days, if not more. So please stick around, please. I thank you guys for hanging on and waiting for the next episode. I'm still here. I'm still going. It's 2019. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's get this ball rolling, even though I know the month of January is almost over. Now, before we get started, I just want to go ahead and pass off a little bit of sad news. One of the things that kept me from producing an episode for a while, and it's still taking me a little bit longer to get over, is that my grandfather passed away last month, literally on the 19th, okay? Winter break has just started. I was going home to hang out with my family, and lo and behold, barely 2 days after I got there, my mom gets a message that morning saying that my grandfather had passed away around midnight. So knowing that I haven't seen him since basically August last year, you can imagine how much that tore me apart, especially since I was one of the few people that was really close to him aside from my mom. So one of the topics that I wanted to cover today, in kind of in regards to that, is the difference between competency and sanity, okay? A reason I want to talk about this is because I want to make it known, or at least try to figure out if it's possible. Can you be competent but insane, or insane but competent, okay? Now, in movies and books, okay, the phrase not competent to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity are thrown around quite frequently. But what are the difference between competency and sanity? Okay, are they interchangeable? These are things that I want you guys to think about, as is kind of the whole point of this channel. Okay, first things first, the answer to that question, are they interchangeable? The answer is no. Okay, the two concepts play significantly different roles in court, okay? Competency determines whether a defendant will be able to appear at trial and understand the proceedings. Sanity determines whether a defendant will be held responsible for his criminal actions. Therefore, ergo, a defendant who is competent to stand trial may nonetheless be found not guilty by reason of insanity. However, if a defendant is found not competent to stand trial, he will never be found guilty, or not guilty for that matter, because no trial will be held in the first place. In, I guess in layman's terms, how do I put this? You can be declared legally competent and also legally insane, asked the Joker. Somehow he managed to pull that off. However, you cannot be declared legally insane unless you are also legally competent. So, I'm going to go into the basic differences between the two concepts and kind of give a definition of them, and go a little more in depth. in a few minutes. So we're going to take a short break right here real quick, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, and we are back. Let's start with the basic difference between these two concepts. We're going to start with their we're going to do a definition of one or the other, and then we're going to go a little more in depth with this, okay? So, definition, first off, competency is determined by whether the defendant can understand the nature and consequences of criminal proceedings against him. Specifically, the Supreme Court has held the defendant must, one, have sufficient present ability to consult with his or her lawyer with reasonable degree of rational understanding. And two, he or she must have a rational factual understanding of the proceedings against him or her. Meanwhile, the definition of insanity varies between states and concerns the criminal acts allegedly committed by the defendant, okay? For example, some states determine insanity by whether the defendant understood the nature and quality of his acts or did not know that his acts were wrong. Other states have different definitions. Some states do not have an insanity defense at all. And keep in mind, this is not exactly applicable to everybody, as some states still side with the old rules from back when Andrew Jackson was president, and they don't see minorities as equals, so they may or may not even side with the fact that the client was insane. They may or may state that he was, you know, he's guilty regardless because of his skin color or her skin color, okay? The decision maker here is that, how do I put this? Basically, competency is determined by the judge, and insanity is determined by the jury, okay? This is all based on, you know, the timing of the termination when they figure it out. Competency is usually determined before the beginning of the trial. However, insanity, on the other hand, is determined at the end of the trial with the verdict, okay? Now, this I can understand this raising a few issues here, so let's go ahead and go a little bit deeper. Competency can be raised as an issue by a party or based on the judge's observations of the defendant. If there is a reasonable basis to believe that competency is a issue, the court has an absolute duty to order an evaluation. Now, based on the outcome of the evaluation, the judge will determine whether the defendant is competent to stand trial. Now, insanity, on the other hand, is an affirmative defense that must be pled by the defendant, okay? Source of law in this, how do I put this? The competency requirement arises from United States federal law as a guarantee under the Due Process Clause of the Constitution. Okay. Meanwhile, the insanity defense is determined by state law and varied between states. So, some states do not have the insanity defense at all, but all states must consider competency because it's a matter of constitutionality. Okay? Oh, you know what? Let's take a short break right here, and I'll be right back. Now, I took a second here to stop and think. Just because I have notes doesn't mean I know everything, so I still have to look up some information. But when I made that last comment just now about the source of the law, it made me consider the time frame. Keep this in mind. When evaluating competency, the judge will consider the defendant's mental state at the time of the legal proceedings and trial. When evaluating insanity, however, the jury will consider the defendant's mental state at the time the alleged crime was committed, not so much his current presence in the courtroom. And, you know, with that, there are consequences. When a defendant is found incompetent to stand trial, it merely causes a, how do I put it, a hiatus in the criminal proceedings. In general, the mentally ill defendant is expected to receive treatment until he is deemed restored to competency, at which point the trial would then proceed. Keep this in mind. In 1972, the Supreme Court held the defendant deemed incompetent may not be held for a longer period than a reasonable than is reasonable to determine whether he or she will be able to attain competency in the foreseeable future. Okay? However, if a defendant is found insane, he will most likely be committed to a psychiatric ward or an insane asylum. However, on top of that, commitment procedures vary depending on the state. Like I mentioned before, some states require a commitment hearing. Others do it automatically. The length of time of commitment also varies. Studies show the defendant found not guilty by reason of insanity are likely to spend as much or more time confined to a psych ward as they would have if they had went to prison instead. So, for some places, especially racist states that still haven't gotten over their past issues, for them, the easiest thing they could do, if they can't send you to jail, they will send you to a psych ward. All right? There are many different applications of this, too. Okay? Let's say that a husband is prone to violent psychotic episodes that last for a few hours, but that when he is not experiencing an episode, he thinks and acts fairly normal, like a regular human being. For lack thereof a better word, or whatever the hell normal is for a regular human being, he ends up killing his wife during one of these episodes. He would most likely be deemed competent to stand trial, but also be acquitted by reason of insanity. Okay, now let's consider a different solution. That one was a bit harsh, I'm sorry. Say that a wife has trouble understanding her surroundings because of a hallucinatory mental illness, okay? Paranoid schizophrenic or something. I'm just giving an example. I don't know exactly what that is yet. I will do a podcast on it, don't get me wrong. So, back on topic. She has trouble with her understanding her surroundings because of hallucinatory mental illness, and perpetually believes that she's still in middle school for whatever reason. One day, how do I put this? She finds out that her husband cheated on her, gets angry, and then kills him. Okay? Just awesome, just like that. At the beginning of the criminal proceedings, she sincerely believes that the courtroom is her middle school auditorium, that the proceedings are homecoming dance or something, that the lawyers are students, and that the judge is the principal. Which, now that you think about it, kind of does make sense. That aside, though, in this case, she would be deemed incompetent to stand trial. Actually, as a side note, if the wife's case were to go on trial, she would probably be found guilty because her killing had nothing to do with her mental illness. However, she would never go to trial unless or until she is deemed to have reached a competency level that is suitable. Okay? Or at least they deem her as human again. Awesome. Welcome back. All right. So, continuing with the topic here. Let me give you a quick disclaimer. Okay. Most of the information I've given you is just for informational purposes, okay? It's not for the purpose of providing legal advice or anything, okay? You should still contact your attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular issues or problems you have, okay? Use of this information, for whatever reason, doesn't help you solve your problems. If anything, it'll create a topic for you to talk about with your attorney to help you solve any problems. If you're having any psychiatric problems or such, you know, you want to get yourself checked out, but I would recommend talking to your attorney first, okay? Alright, so with that being said, both the things, competency and incompetency, sanity or insanity, each serve a purpose. They have their own roles that they play, okay? Doesn't really matter which is which. They're two completely different things, okay? It's the same with perseverance versus preservation. They mean similar, but they're not the same things, okay? Insanity is a mental illness of such severe nature that a person cannot distinguish fantasy from reality. They cannot conduct him or herself or their affairs due to psychosis, or is subject to uncontrollable impulsive behavior, like the woman who thought that the entire courtroom was her eighth grade class. Okay? The determining factor between each is pretty clear, okay? To be clear, insanity is a legal term pertaining to a defendant's ability to determine right from wrong when a crime is committed. And based off of that definition, insanity is a concept discussed in court, okay? So to help distinguish guilt from innocence, if it's informed by mental health professionals. But the term today is primarily legal, not psychological. So there's no insane diagnosis listed in the DSM. Keep that in mind. There's no nervous breakdown either. But again, that's another topic. Okay. So keep this in mind when considering these two topics. Especially when you're going to court, if the person that you're trying to condemn can even be condemned in the first place. That way you're not wasting time and or money, all right? If the person's a psychopath, then trying to get him convicted for something that he did or sent to jail is probably going to be a lot harder than trying to get him convicted and sent to an insane asylum, okay? So with that, this has been Food for Thought Thoughts If It Were You. Competency versus incompetency, sanity versus insanity. This is your host, Neo Gentrix. I hope to hear from you guys again in the future, and I thank you guys for listening. If you like my channel, feel free to subscribe on anchor.fm/Neo Gentrix. Show your support on the Facebook page, Patreon, and on Anchor. You can subscribe on there. I'm also available on Google Play and iTunes. So, enjoy the rest of your day. I look forward to hearing from you guys for the rest of the week.